will determine a champion in the Big Ten. 2-0 lead for the Badgers.
Hawkins, a key guy, I think, is pick and pop's got to make these threes if they're going to be big time.
He's got it. A triple. Shannon, high screen. Danger. Shannon all the way. Banks it in.
And that was good defense right there. I mean, Crowell walled him up, but just so good at shot making. Incredible.
Shannon, say goodnight. Pedal to the metal for Terrence Shannon Jr.
Undeterred.
Hepburn missed it off the rim. Rebound. Danger.
There he goes.
Shannon, he's going to pull up. Shannon got him.
And I don't know why they backed off. You got to pick him up.
Damask to spin to bucket. Now it's Shannon with 12 to shoot.
Crowd stepping up.
Cross. Shannon high off the window.
Doesn't matter. Goodness.
Back in. Danger. Gets it to go and a foul. Blackwell takes the baseline, loses it, turnover.
Out of contact.
Nice give. Hawkins! Big finish! Coleman Hawkins going down the lane like Connie Hawkins.
Ooh, the Hawk!
Goody.
That's his game.
It is.
Offensive rebound, Rogers.
And that's one thing Brad lamented.
Damask got a three.
Goodness. They do some job on the glass. Nice find. Damask silently, like an assassin.
Gary A, the layup, no. Tapped outside. Here's A.J. Store in the open floor. Euros denied. It's Hawkins. Do not go in there. Damask, one-on-one with Hepburn.
Forcing him deep on the floor here. A lot of extra dribbles.
Swing. Ball fake. Shannon. Oh, yeah!
Hawkins giving it up. He had a shot as well.
Shannon's got it. Shannon gets rid of it. Down court. Hawkins the catch. And now the celebration begins for Illinois. Pop the champagne. They're Big Ten tournament champions. They knock off Wisconsin to take the trophy. 93-87, the final. Brad Underwood and the Fighting Illini on top of the Big Ten world once again.
We are the champions, my friends. And we'll keep on fighting till the end. We are the champions.
Hang that banner, Kyle. Hang it. Highlights courtesy of CBS Sports. Kyle came in and put those together as the Illini get it done. They win the Big Ten Tournament Championship. Third plaque, essentially, in 4 years. Two Big Ten Basketball Tournament Championships. One regular season championship. It has been quite a run for this Illinois program that is back. And a three seed in the NCAA Tournament. I have thoughts on that. Kyle is with us. Derek
no
Kuiper
six seed
is
needed.
Not.
Let's just get that three.
Right. I thought sitting here 2 weeks ago that Illinois would not be able to work its way to a three, but they certainly got there. It is the Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. Kyle Tosk sitting in, not really sitting in. You're always here, but you weren't here last week. Part timer taking his spring break. How dare a college kid do that? But Derek Piper on his way back from Minneapolis and then on his way to Omaha. So we will not have Derek Piper in studio this week. However, you will hear from Derek Piper today, Wednesday, and Friday is how I believe we're going to make this happen. So Pipes will be on at the bottom of the hour this hour. Wednesday and Friday will be around 4:30 unless something changes. So we will get his thoughts, of course, leading into the first game of the NCAA tournament with Morehead State. And then we'll get his thoughts, hopefully, leading into the second game of the tournament, which it appears to be a BYU team that, am I right in the sense they are a six seed, but really should have been a five, but
That's
are now
correct.
A six because they're not allowed to play on Sunday. Is that exactly right?
That is absolutely correct. They're actually the 17th overall seed, so they'd be the highest five seed. But all the five seed, like, portions of the bracket play on a Sunday, either in the first round or in the regional. So they move them down to a six seed. And what do you know?
Yes.
They're right across from Illinois.
Before I go on a little bit of a tangent, what are your thoughts on the bracket? What were your thoughts when you first saw Illinois in the East? And then I can go on with all the negative stuff.
The initial, like, pod, Morehead State, BYU, I kind of like the matchups for Illinois. I think that they should be able to get those two. And obviously the box that everyone wants to check off is get those right. two and just get to the second weekend. The region as a whole is tough.
It's incredible.
It is really, really hard. I'm very overwhelmed by that and worried about it. Even dreaming ahead a little bit, you got an Iowa State team who just beat Houston by 30 in the Big 12 title game, and then obviously we all know how good UConn is.
Right.
So it's a loaded region that you look down at, like, the West and even the South, and probably a little bit more enticing if Illinois had been placed in either of those.
It's funny how I always say to you, I'd rather be a 6 or a 3. Obviously, I'd rather be a 3 than a 4 or a 5. But there are certainly some fours in here that I think got a better draw than Illinois.
Yeah.
When it comes to this situation, you look at Alabama, a four that plays Charleston, then either St. Mary's or Grand Canyon, and then probably matching up with North Carolina. Not that North Carolina is not good, but North Carolina is not UConn. And certainly where Illinois landed with all the talent that is in this East region, it made no sense. And I'll say this, Kyle, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I want to be excited about what Illinois accomplished, and I do want to kind of sprint forward before we look back at winning the Big Ten tournament, because I think that was an impressive 3-day showing by Illinois, especially with second halves that were incredible. I mean, all of a sudden, you're like an NBA team scoring 98 points a game, and you're like, what in the world? How easy is it for them to score 90-plus points all of a sudden? And they needed it when they'd fall behind against all three opponents by double digits in that tournament in Minneapolis. But that said, I understand when people say, well, look, you got to get out of the first, you got to get to the Sweet 16, and then you're going to play somebody tough. That doesn't mean you have to have the toughest slate. I mean, I understand you're going to play some hard teams going forward, but that doesn't mean we got to play the toughest teams going forward. And in this situation, when you look at it, there's a few things that really disturb me about how the committee did things. And I'll start with this. First of all, you're playing one of the earliest games on a Thursday. And you and Wisconsin were the last teams to play a tournament game on Sunday. You were it by 3 hours.
And Morehead State was the first team to win their tournament, so they have the most rest in the country.
Unbelievable. Now, I don't know that I'd want the most rest.
That's true.
But I certainly believe that the Big Ten tournament champion finalists should always play on Friday. I don't think it's fair at all to put them, and not only that, but the tournament committee is like, well, guess what? We're not only going to play you Thursday, you're going to play the second game of the day in Omaha. So essentially, Illinois has, what, 3 days to prepare
yep.
for Morehead State and then a possible BYU team, which leads me to the second thing I'm pissed about, a BYU team that can't play on Sunday. Well, then don't play in the tournament. If you can't play on Sunday, then don't play in the tournament. Maybe Luke Goody's religious on Illinois and he can't play on Sunday. But no, they don't care about that. So now because of that, BYU moves to a 6 seed, even though they're the best 5 seed, as Kyle just explained. So there's strike 2 against the committee as you go along. And then you look at what you're in this bracket where you have UConn, who is the best team in the country. So now you're a 3 in this bracket. Now that doesn't bother me as much, because really, when you look at it, I don't know that I'd want to play Houston. I don't know that I'd want to play North Carolina. I don't know that I'd want to play UConn or want to play Purdue again. So in that sense, you know, you understand a little bit that by the time you get to the Elite Eight and you're facing off against a 1 seed, if it all happens like that, then, hey, you take your chances, right, against whoever you are. But it is kind of upsetting that you get UConn. Not only that, 3 of last year's Final Four teams are in this bracket with UConn, FAU, and, of course, I wouldn't be happy if I was UConn or FAU, knowing they may have to play each other right off the bat. And then, of course, San Diego State, who is the 5 seed in this East bracket. The other thing that bugged me the most is when you listen to all these so-called experts, the Jay Billises and the others that go through this, and by the way, Billis spoke good things about Illinois, but when you listen to any expert out there that covers this a lot more than I and has a lot more poignant thoughts about this thing than I would, because I, firmly just feature Illinois in my mind and sometimes the Big Ten and a little bit of the Missouri Valley. I don't know about the Mountain West. I don't know much. I mean, I know the Big 12. I know the Mountain West. I know the teams, but I don't watch them. But when you have every expert pretty much say that the hardest bracket in this thing is the East, and it makes no sense, Kyle, why that would be. Because UConn is the best team in the country. They're the number one seed, and yet they're in the hardest bracket. So look at it from UConn's point of view. Now, they're going to sit there and say, well, we don't worry about that. We're good enough to beat anybody in this tournament. We're going to go from there. Well, I'm sure they'd rather play Nebraska than FAU. I think FAU could be a problem for Northwestern, especially a Northwestern team that doesn't have a lot of size right now with Nicholson out. And FAU just absolutely crashes the boards. We can get into more of the matchups as we go along. But FAU, I mean, they're going to want to play up and down like Boo Booey wants to do. So that's going to be an exciting game. That's a can't-miss game on Thursday morning. Is that – no, that's Friday morning, that game. So there's just a lot of things that are just kind of interesting about this. And – again, I think my number one beef to all of it is why Illinois would be playing one of the early games on Thursday when you were the last team essentially to finish a game on Sunday. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I'll say this, Kyle. In a matter of about 10 minutes, I went from unbridled joy of winning the Big Ten Conference Tournament and beating a really good Wisconsin team to all of a sudden where I'm mad. And I'm like, why am I angry? Why can't I just look at this and be excited as an Illinois fan that they are a 3 seed? They moved up out of that 4 spot into a 3, which you presume would make life easier in round 2. And I know that it's always easy to look past round 1. We can get to Morehead State and talk a little bit about them, and we certainly will this week out of the Ohio Valley Conference. But it's really, if you're a 3 seed, you really should be focused on that second game, not the team itself, but as a fan. And in reality, you might as well be a 4 seed because now you're playing the top 5 seed in the tournament. So you may as well be the worst 4 seed, and instead you're probably the worst 3 getting in the toughest bracket and now having to essentially play the best 5 seed if BYU beats Duquesne, which I don't know. Duquesne is kind of red hot out of that Atlanta 12.
Duquesne got overseeded too, though. I think
I agree.
They almost... since BYU is supposed to be a 5 seed, they're almost like, we'll overseed your 11 seed so that you actually are playing a 12.
Yeah. So
I think BYU probably beats them.
I would say. And BYU's the team that's going to – they're going to jack up 24 threes. I can tell you right now
– probably more.
When this game – yeah, they're averaging 24. When this game occurs Saturday morning sometime – when this game occurs, here's what it's going to come down to. We could talk till we're blue in our face about – rebounding, about transition, about doing this, doing that. It's going to come down to this, Kyle. BYU's going to have to not be red hot from the 3-point line. If they're not, and Illinois has done a great job all season in covering the 3, if BYU is not making shots at a high level, they're going to make shots. If they're not making them at a crazy high level, then Illinois should win that game. If BYU comes out and it's one of those crazy NCAA tournament stories where it's like, oh my gosh, they can't miss. They're up 15. Right. And it's like they're just throwing stuff in from the ocean. Well, then you're going to be in some deep trouble in that. And certainly that's something that I look forward to watching and hoping that BYU, if they do make the second round, and if Illinois does make the second round, that the BYU is not just going crazy. So I'll shut up. I've given you my beef. I am happy. Can I say this? I am happy, number one, that Illinois won a banner. They're going to hang a banner for the Big Ten Tournament Championship. Everybody that listens to the show understands that is ultra important to me. Winning a Big Ten regular season title is number one. Winning the Big Ten Conference Tournament is number two. That, to me, is very important. You put a banner at the top of State Farm Center that'll hang forever. And you'll always be able to say, well, this Illinois team won the Big Ten tournament in 2024. And it's not like it was a fluke. it's not like they just went on a run for three games. They finished second overall in a solid Big Ten conference, I guess. I don't know if I'd call it solid, in a decent.
Brad will call it the best in the country.
Oh, yeah, it's elite.
But
it's elite. But, yeah, no, I would not call it that at all. So I'm proud of them for that. That was incredible. I'm happy for a guy like Marcus Damask to get a ring. That's what he kind of said going in. I'm proud of a guy like Luke Goody who's was going to join us today, but they called a meeting. How dare Brad Underwood put his selfish way in front of us? Like, what has he got going right now that's so important that Luke Goody can't join us on the show? That's all sarcasm. But I think Luke Goody will join us tomorrow, so I'm excited to talk to Luke about playing and getting back into the NCAA tournament, and this time as a really heavy favorite against a 14 seed. So I'm proud of him for that. I'm happy that they got a 3 seed. The path looks like you should make a Sweet 16, and then we'll take our chances maybe against a really tough Cyclone squad that is all about defense, not much on the offensive end. So actually, in a weird way, and I'm really going way out of here before I'm letting you speak, in a weird way, I'd almost rather play somebody like Iowa State that is not really good on offense than like FAU who can throw up 92. Does that make sense?
I totally agree.
I mean, obviously in that setting, I'd probably rather play FAU, but in a situation like that, I hope people understand where I'm going here. I'd rather play a team that's challenged to score, but then can really challenge you to score. And they, like every third possession, they get a turnover. So Illinois kind of understands what they've got to do. And if Illinois scores at a high level, or just scores not at a high level, probably against an Iowa State team that's that good, if they get that far, I hope everybody is following the bouncing ball with me. But I think Illinois could score enough there to make it. So I'll leave it to you now. Were you upset at this bracket? Were you like upset like me when it came to that? I try to stop the, oh, of course this happens to Illinois. It always happens to Illinois. I don't even remember last year how our bracket looked. Was our bracket.
There was just no confidence they were beating anybody last year.
But was it like the top toughest, like the region, was it like the toughest one last year too? Or, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I know that Arkansas team they drew was very talented and probably better than an 8 seed
and beat
paper,
Kansas.
And ended up beating Kansas. I don't know about the rest of the bracket. Okay. I mean, Kansas was good, really good. They're a 1 seed, but
that's kind of been the rub so far, is that you're always playing teams that seem to be not seeded correctly. Like, and it started with Loyola, correct?
This is just an unprecedented situation where the committee actually said, no, they are a 5 seed in our mind, but you know what? We have to give them a 6 because that's the only spot that they fit.
That's unbelievable.
Of course, that would be the one time that happens. The first time it's ever happened, Illinois is going to be facing them. I do, just in general, I don't know
they
if I was.
They couldn't have gone against Kentucky.
Yeah, I know, right?
Can you just put them against Kentucky then? Then you don't have to play Sunday. I don't know.
I think it was the East region's the only one, like this particular pod was the only one.
The gentleman that was kind of the voice of the committee, he did say that they, because UConn was the number one overall seed, they then get their choice of where they're going to go.
Right.
And then it comes down to miles. So believe it or not, that has a lot to do with this.
Yep.
It's probably why Illinois is in Omaha and then why they fit them in this bracket. So I guess if you're going to be mad at anything, it might be the sense that you fell into the bracket that has the number one overall seed. And not only that, but you fell into now this idea of the NCAA tournament. Now all of a sudden we're trying to save money for schools by sending them to places that are fairly close. So that is kind of the reason for that. Now, I don't know where they go after Omaha. It's
Boston.
Boston, that's right. So if you played Iowa State, you'd be playing them in Boston. So
yeah,
there's,
if it was Omaha, that'd be a
correct
great game.
So there's no really home advantage there for them, but certainly Drake will fill a little bit of the big time home advantage.
Drake, Iowa State, round of 32 game. That could be really fun.
Oh, that would be tasty. I'll take that in a heartbeat. All right, Kyle, I'm shutting up. I've gone way too long here. Your thoughts on what the bracket showed you?
I wasn't quite as steaming hot as you apparently were about it. Now, kind of taking a look back after the fact and dissecting it, it is pretty crazy. Like, you compare this region as a whole to the other three, I think it's by far the toughest region. I mean, You look at the top 4 seeds in this region are the top KenPom team. I know you're a big KenPom guy.
Yeah.
Top
oh,
KenPom
yeah, big time.
Team. on their respective seed lines. So you got the best one seed, the best two seed, the best three seed, the best four seed, according to KenPom.
Correct.
Best six seed in BYU by far, not even close. So you peel it back a little bit, and you do realize that, man, that Illinois probably did get screwed again. I do think when you dig a little deeper, the matchups for Illinois aren't terrible. Like, I think that the strength of their defense, as bad as it's been, is probably BYU's strength offensively. Like,
I agree.
If you can run BYU off the three-point line and force them into maybe taking a bunch of mid-range twos instead, I think Illinois probably can outscore them. Obviously, you should beat Morehead State. And you mentioned it too, like dreaming ahead to a Sweet 16 matchup with Iowa State. I would rather see a team as elite as their defense is, the way Illinois is playing right now, the way Terrence Shannon just averaged 34 points a game in the Big Ten tournament.
Ridiculous.
You got two of the better offensive players in the country, at least recently. I'd take that matchup over some of these other high-powered offensive two seeds, even like an Arizona or a Tennessee.
Yeah.
Who can really light it up. So the matchups I don't hate. I think Illinois should have a chance in all these games. I still think, even with BYU being underseeded, like, Illinois is going to be the favorite in that game. So,
Yep. Unlike
against Houston a couple years ago and unlike against Arkansas last year, you're going to be expected to win that game. So, bad draw or not, Illinois should win that game. I think they have a much better team on paper than BYU does. So, I think it's still manageable. Obviously, you'd hate to run into UConn. I would not like that matchup. But hey, if you get me to the Elite Eight,
anybody,
just tip the ball up, and
right.
I'll be happy to be there. And
totally.
I think Illinois can challenge UConn more so than maybe some of the other three seeds could. So.
And I think it's fair to look at it the other way, too, and say there's probably a lot of teams that looked at this bracket and go, I don't want to face Illinois.
Yeah, man, you look at Iowa State as the two. If I'm an Iowa State fan,
Yeah. Knowing
that, we stop everybody, that's our MO, is that we're just going to be all defense and try to hold you to 50. Well, seeing what Illinois just did in the Big Ten tournament, I don't know how confident I'd be holding them down. So it goes both ways for sure. But
it's funny, as I read a lot of your texts on the U of I Line and Lake text line, we'll try to get to these in the 4 hour. There's a lot of them. A lot of people are kind of agreeing with me a little bit. And then a lot of people are just saying, you know what, just deal with the hand you're dealt, go win. And that is true. And again, I'm not totally upset. I appreciate the committee giving you a three seed. There's no doubt that that was nice, because really, when you look at it, Kyle, it still comes down to this. Illinois still doesn't have that marquee win.
Right.
And so in that sense, then maybe Illinois should feel fortunate to be getting into that three. It is just kind of funny to think, okay, if they would have lost game two to Nebraska, do you fall into maybe the strongest four and have an easier path and not have to play a team like BYU, who essentially should be a five? Or maybe, obviously you wouldn't, because they would have put him as a six anyway, and then possibly not have to play UConn. I know somebody asked, do you want to play Purdue? I'd rather play Purdue than UConn, if that's what you're asking me. Yeah.
Yep.
In a heartbeat. And that doesn't mean that I'm throwing listen, those one seeds are good. I think one fate, like you just said, so you're going to be happy with what has happened and what's transpired to that point. But all of these ones, I could totally have nightmares about and try to figure out how you're going to stop those teams. So it's one of those. It was Scott that said that. Yeah. So I would rather play Purdue than UConn, Scott. There's no doubt. It's Marcus said, let's go, Lon. We have the horses. It's time to ride them to the Final Four. If we play our best, I'll take this team against any team. I love that. I mean, look, Illinois is an old team, right? Like, one of the top 10 oldest teams in the country. And I think you saw it this past weekend in Minneapolis, where they got down double digits and didn't panic and ended up rolling, basically, teams at the end, although Wisconsin certainly wasn't a roll. But you know what I mean. This isn't a team that got flustered by any means. I'd like to not see you fall behind by double digits.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. But certainly having an older team, I think, understands the idea that they're not going to panic and go through there. Kyler thinks the committee could have switched Duke and Illinois later in the process. And with Wisconsin moving up, you couldn't place Illinois as the highest four with the matchup of Wisconsin in the second round. Yeah, that's a good point. On that. So there was one that someone said, 651, a lot of talking heads calling this region the region of death. So, and then Steven asked about Purdue playing at home in Indy. Well, Illinois has always been pretty fortunate when they've had a one seed to get a pretty good draw in terms of location, it seems like.
They build into the process of sending all the one seeds to the most desired location possible.
Now, so, if UConn would have said, we want to play in Indy, then that would have screwed Purdue. But obviously, why would UConn do that? They want to be in Boston closer to where they're at. So, yeah, that doesn't bother me. In other words, Stephen, I don't know if you were asking that in that sense at all. I think the last thing, too, is that there was talk of Iowa State being a one seed.
There was.
And then so it's just kind of funny when you look up and down that bracket, and I'm sure Illinois, you could put them as a three in any other bracket. I'd probably have some kind of negative thought about it. That's just how I am when it comes to this stuff. But it is kind of funny that when you look at it, you got the best team overall in UConn. You got a two seed that a lot of people argue could be a one. You've got a BYU team that's seeded as a six, even though they're the top five, and you got to run into them. It's just, and then we haven't even mentioned Auburn.
Auburn is the number four team on KenPom in the country.
So where are we at? Before we take a break and get Piper on, give me the KenPom, where the bulk of these teams sit, the better teams. Like UConn is one, I assume.
UConn is one.
Auburn is four.
Auburn is four. Iowa State is five. Illinois is 10.
Okay. And for those of you that are like, I don't understand the whole KenPom stuff, it's
BYU is 16.
16. It's basically a ton of analytics thrown into one.
It's your efficiency margins.
Got it.
Basically, offense, defense combined.
And KenPom has always been higher on Illinois than the net this year or the rankings. And I know the rankings don't really mean much. They mean stuff on an outlier kind of thing, but not for a bracket or not for a seeding purpose. I don't think it matters that Illinois would be ranked 13th in the country. But certainly the net Illinois was 15, I think, at one point. I don't know if that changed before the tournament. And then in KenPom, they were 10. So that gives you kind of an idea of that.
So the East region, five of the top 16 KenPom teams are in it. Three of the top five are in it.
Wow.
No other region can say that. Obviously, plenty of different metrics, but that one is saying that this region is going to be difficult. Where would, for the two seeds on the Iowa State point, compared to the other two seeds, where would they rank in terms of who you'd want to see? Taking out the analytics and everything, Marquette, Arizona, Tennessee, Iowa State. Because to be honest, I might take them.
I'm fine with
over
Iowa
State. All four.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was one thing I had thought about in my mind to talk about that. I mean, you faced a Marquette team at home and lost to them. Now, I don't know that Kolick.
That Marquette would maybe have an argument because you could bank on Kolick maybe not being 100%. Right. But the same time, that's a team that beat you at home.
Wasn't he hurt here?
Yeah.
Didn't he have an ankle? Like, didn't he have a shattered ankle and somehow
still
went for...
He had the most purple ankle of all time and had 25 and 12 or whatever.
He and Kurt Schilling go down in the Ankle Hall of Fame, and he still went for double-double or something against you. You also lost to Tennessee on the road. Now, I said I wouldn't mind facing Tennessee on a neutral. So, you know what? Because I don't know much... I've watched Arizona play. In fact, I watched them lose to FAU.
They're volatile.
Yes.
They could look like a national title winner or lose to the 15.
So it's funny you say that because of all those twos, you played two of them in Marquette and Tennessee. I've watched Arizona play probably four times. I haven't seen Iowa State play once. So I guess it's hard for me. If it was between those other three teams, I'd probably rather play Tennessee. I'd rather play Marquette if I knew Kolick was still going to be banged up. But I feel like you battled Tennessee hard at their place in front of 20,000 or whatever. I'd love to play them on a neutral and see what happened there. But, yeah, this will be interesting with Iowa State. Obviously, the first thing you're going to do is react to the idea they beat Houston by 30. But certainly you could probably go back a few games.
Houston was banged up, too. They were missing players.
So, all right, we have talked too long. No, I've talked too long. We have to take a break, not only to get our great sponsors on, but also to get Derek Piper on. He'll join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Big Ten tournament, also the bracket and what he thinks of it. I believe he likes it. I was able to hear a little bit of the Illini Inquirer podcast between he and Jeremy. Piper had, like, they seriously were, like, renovating the arena behind
it. I hear this, like, every time now.
Right!
Every road and arena they go to or the Big Ten tournament, there's like construction going on.
Were the Wild playing last night or something? Were they putting the ice down or something? I mean, every time Piper would talk, you'd hear this, bam! It's like, holy crap, did somebody just fall? I mean, it was. But anyway, there's nothing you can do about it. Besides, between that and golf carts, there's not much you can do with the beep, beep, beep. We'll take a break. Back with Pipes. It is The Draw.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circus Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor, and I'm the owner of Circus Sports. We're excited that the Circus Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
Important voter alert. The radical left is coming after your voice in Springfield, Adam Niemerg, with more than $300,000. It's the same group that tried to kick President Trump off the ballot. The same extremists funding Adam's opponent's campaign are the same ones indoctrinating our classrooms with an extreme woke agenda. On March 19th, reject their puppet candidate. Fill in the bubble next to the write-in line and write in Adam Niemerg for state representative. Once again, fill in the bubble and write in Adam Niemerg.
Paid for by the committee to elect Adam Niemerg.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth, since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
This is Eddie Clare, president of Paul's. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Paul's is looking for experienced fabricators and millwrights to join our team on both first and second shifts. We have a great benefit package, including 2 weeks of paid vacation from day one, a company bonus, health, vision, dental for you and for your family, a 401k with a match. We also offer tuition reimbursement and on-the-job training programs for less experienced fabricators and millwrights. Let Paul's create big possibilities for you, your career, and your life. Apply online at PaulsMachine.com.
Thank you for choosing Two Men in a Truck. How may I help you?
Hey, we're moving, and I have a strange situation here. We need to be out of our house by 10 a.m., but our closing on the new house isn't until 1 p.m. Is that something you guys do?
That's not strange at all. Two Men in a Truck has completed over 9 million moves. We have a solution for that.
Not sure how your move is going to work? Go to twomeninatruck.com to start your free estimate. Twomeninatruck.com.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Think warm thoughts and get your pool plans ready now. Buy a membership at the Urbana Park District Crystal Lake Park Family Aquatic Center. There's a huge discount for individual and family memberships. Go in person to the Phillips Recreation Center or the Urbana Indoor Aquatic Center. Call 217-367-1544. Check out the pool with the Urbana Park District. You belong here. UrbanaParks.org.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante Kyle Tosk. We've got some really good texts coming in that I want to get to, and I promise you guys and gals that I'll get to that at the start of the 4 o'clock hour because a lot of people are sending in some great stuff. Heath even mentioned Illinois is number 10 now in the AP poll.
Oh, that's not good. They went on the cycle of 10 to 14 to 10 to 14 to 10 to 14.
I forgot about that. Oh, boy. Put bet heavy on Morehead State is how we're saying. So a lot of information to get to and a lot of texts. Thank you, everybody, for sending those in on the U of I Line and Lake text line. Let's get to the Tapman's Towing phone line and bring in our buddy, our co-host, Derek Piper. He's probably tired, but I think he has arrived home. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, just pulled into town about 10 minutes ago. Long drive back from Minneapolis. We made it up to Wisconsin Dells last night. Late night stop and got some riding done, a quick sleep, and then back on the road. And then speaking of back on the road, we're heading to Omaha tomorrow morning. So quick turnaround. I know you were talking in the first segment about that quick turn for the Illini as well, getting back on the court. But what an awesome time of year. Great way to finish the conference tournament and a hell of a selection Sunday for the Illini. So, you know, this is what we wait for every year. And now we have a few days to bask in the bracket and figure out what we think. And then we watch it all unfold.
Kudos to the Inquirer, guys. I was up about 5:30 this morning reading all of your articles that you guys had written, and it's great stuff. It's great stuff to read. Of course, it was so exciting to win the Big Ten tournament. And kind of like we did in the first segment, I want to fast forward before we look back, Pipes, if that's all right with you, because I want to tangle with the more important stuff in my mind now. I mean, don't get me wrong. As you know me, that winning a Big Ten tournament championship is very important to me, but obviously you set your sights now going forward. So let's start there. A 3 seed. You heard the negativity coming out of Lon, and I appreciate a lot of the texters saying, hey, let's just go take it one game at a time and get this done. If we play like we can win a lot of games, and I'm with them 100%. It was just a little frustrating to see all the different things that broke in that East bracket, but I heard you last night on your podcast with Jeremy. I'm glad you're all right, by the way. It sounded like the Target Arena or whatever was like collapsing behind you, by the way. So, but other than that, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the East bracket and you saw Illinois land at that 3?
I think that, of course, knowing that if you get the second weekend, any kind of run-in with UConn is going to be tough and not anything that anyone's going to necessarily be asking for, but at the same time, anytime you get that far in the tournament, I mean, you're going to play the best of the best. So seeing them at the top of that bracket, you know, it's a huge challenge. You just hope to be that squad tipping it up in the Elite Eight in Boston, assuming that UConn's going to be there. And I think it's going to be a walk in the park for them to necessarily get to that point. You know, Auburn's playing really well. And UConn fans are probably, I know you guys touched on it, probably having the conversation of how come Auburn is winning the SEC title and fourth on KenPom, but the 4 seed sitting beneath us. But I think that as you look at it from Illinois standpoint, we've talked for months and you've advocated for that 3 or 6 spot and right. You landed in the 3 and it shows that Illinois had the opportunity in front of them. We questioned whether that was going to really come to fruition after losing the home game to Purdue and lacking the marquee win and whatnot. But after that point, you get a quad one at Iowa, you get 3 quad 1 wins in the Big Ten tournament and you earn that 3 spot. So Morehead State is definitely a team you should beat. We can talk a little bit more about them in depth if you want, but the OVC tournament winners, they do have a really good player in Riley Mennix, who's a 6'7" forward and has some guards that can shoot it, but no worry as far as I'm concerned. I'm saying that they can't beat you. I mean, anybody in this tournament, they're 16 seed beating ones now in the current version of the tournament that we've grown accustomed to. So upsets happen, but I do feel good about the way Illinois has been playing. And as far as BYU, I know you roll your eyes, and it's fair. It's fair to roll your eyes and say, oh, you know, some of these breaks that Illinois had recently, and then to get a team that isn't allowed to play on Sunday, we can make jokes about that or whatever you want to do. But I do think it's very interesting because you've got 2 really, really high-level offenses there with Illinois and BYU, and they can really shoot it. They shoot a lot of threes. And if BYU has one of their best offensive games, they're going to be tough. But at the same time, I don't know how they stopped Illinois either. So maybe that is one of those just shootout, high gunning type of games. And not saying that Illinois is uncomfortable playing that. Actually, we've seen them very comfortable, winning games where they score 90 plus. So I think the draw is fine for Illinois. Iowa State, I need to admittedly, I didn't get a chance to see their game against Houston. Popping that score up on the ESPN scoreboard and seeing them just hammer Houston like that, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And I know that they've been a top-notch defense. They're a really tough team. They turn you over a lot. I do worry about and wonder about if you do get to that matchup, without a true point guard, is that something, they eat up Marcus DeMatt with the ball in his hands and they turn you over and whatnot. But I think more big picture thought for me is just the way that Terrence Shannon's been playing right now. I mean, he's the hottest player in the country. He's the hottest, highest scoring guy in the last week or two of anybody out there. That whenever you go into a tournament like this, you have your season on your line. You want your star player to be at his tip top form, and you got that in Terrence. So you also have Marcus playing well. Was huge in the Wisconsin game, and Illinois, even though maybe there's a little bit of fatigue with three games in 3 days, they did get home last night, and I just like that they're playing some of their best basketball at the right time of year. I felt like that was a high-level game yesterday against Wisconsin, obviously the second half against Nebraska, and I think a three spot is much more favorable than if you're in that four range and you wonder about a four or five battle. And just as I was thinking back a month ago, we were like, just watch the committee do the whole thing of putting Illinois and Kentucky and just to march the round of 32 of those two teams. Well, Kentucky elevated to a three. Illinois did the same. You don't have to worry about that. I'm not saying there obviously aren't any guarantees, and the angst will be there regardless of who the teams were. You could put any teams in line for Illinois, and people would be wondering, is this going to be the year they finally snap the streak or not? So it's just, the bottom line is it's time to go do it. It's just time to go do it for this program. They've got enough talent. They've got that A-lister and Terrence Shannon, and they're playing good ball right now. So I'd feel good if I was an Illinois fan until it plays out. I know there will be some wonder and hope that this isn't going to be a 20-year drought officially for a Sweet 16, but I think that this is a good chance to finally break that streak, get the monkey off of Illinois' back, and get the monkey off of Brad's back, too.
Let's talk about the weekend that was. Illinois wins the Big Ten Tournament Championship. Three games, Ohio State, Nebraska, Wisconsin. They come back from down double digits in all three games. Obviously, you touched on it there. Terrence Shannon, 34 points a game in the tournament.
That's incredible.
I don't know. I tweeted out, and Lon was like telling me to ask my dad, but I said, is there ever been a better three-game stretch from a player in Illinois history? It's probably got to be up there based on what the stakes were. What was it like from your seat courtside watching Shannon do that, watching this team go through that run, and what did you make of that stretch from Illinois this weekend winning a Big Ten title?
Shannon was unbelievable. I'm not saying anything that anyone doesn't know, but it's clear, and not to turn the conversation back into the whole All-American debate and whether, he's going to get enough votes, enough publications to want to put him in there, knowing his legal situation. That's kind of the point, right? Nothing in terms of the on-court stuff says that he's anywhere outside of the top five in all of college basketball. So just in terms of what that means for Illinois and how tough of a task they are for anybody in the country, even UConn, would have to, raise their eyebrows. Oh no, we got to deal with Terrence Shannon, who on a given night might be the best player in the country. So that's great for Illinois' standpoint to do that in an NBA arena. I couldn't help but think, Illinois fans should be fortunate, should be thankful that he's not doing that in the NBA right now. That it is one more year at Illinois.
Right.
It's a special season that he's having. He's solidified the fact he's going to be the highest scorer in a single season for Illinois in 50 years. And him and Zach Edey are the only high major players in the country who are averaging at least 22 points a game. So that's all elite territory. I think that it's great that here recently you've seen different guys step up. I know that was something that we talked about really at the outset of this season, is that's where you talk about the depth, you talk about just the overall talent, that it can be different guys' nights. And Dane Danger, the way that he's played over the last few weeks, and to have that game in night one against Ohio State, you don't win without Dane coming off the bench on a night when Coleman really didn't have it until the end. Of course, made some big stops on Jameson Battle, but for Dane to play with that confidence and activity on the defensive end too, Luke Goody against Nebraska, our guy, to be able to hit threes, to be able to get those rebounds that he did. Ty Rogers on the note of rebounding, it's just been an animal on the glass. So there's just been a number of different guys, and Marcus DeMast, who had a really tough game against Ohio State, slow start against Nebraska, and then had another one, not in terms of a tough one, but another parting blow to his home state school in Wisconsin, which he then poked fun on social media, which was great. But it was certainly fun to be a part of and watch, and watch it unfold and see the confetti fall. And of course, you get very reflective and zoom out with where the program's at and what Brad's done. You know, three banners in 4 years, and that's a huge deal. You know, that's nothing to scoff at. And I wrote about it in terms of, you know, there were wonders of what Illinois would be like post Io DeSumo and sure. post Kofi Coburn. How would Illinois be able to sustain that? Would they be able to have that foundation that will persist and still be in the top realm of the Big Ten? And obviously they have been. So all of that was great. I do think there were some things that, you know, Illinois didn't play great in the first few games, and I was a little concerned why they didn't have the energy and why they had to make those comebacks. But it is a good thing to know that, especially your offense, with how potent this team is and how they can score the ball, that, you know, being down 10 isn't really a big problem. Not saying it wouldn't be against a higher caliber of opponent, but it does certainly say something that they can rally quickly, and when they're dialed in, you know, they have team has a pretty high ceiling, so that's definitely exciting.
Derek Piper on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Let's end with this. I want to do kind of a rapid fire with the rest of the Big Ten teams and get maybe, you know, a quick thought from you on each of the games. I'll start with in the same region, and it might be one of the games that I can't wait to watch. Well, it is one of the games I can't wait to watch. You've got FAU against number 9 seed Northwestern. Fair draw for Northwestern, you think? And what do you think of that game?
Yeah, I think it's a fair draw. I know that there were a number of people who felt like, and me included, just the way the FAU finished the season, went through their conference slate, that they probably got overseeded. Mm-hmm. They were lucky probably not to be playing in Dayton or somewhere there close to that, like, 11 line. But, you know, it's going to be – I fully agree, just the guard battle between John L. Davis and Boo Booey. Of course, for FAU, you got to throw in Elijah Martin and Vlad Golden down low. And with Northwestern's injuries, whoever they were going to face, and just the task at hand without Ty Berry, and if Matthew Nicholson doesn't come back, like, that's pretty tough to deal with. But we know Bowie's had a special year and a guy that can really get going. So I think it's fair in terms of the resume and whatnot. The Northwestern was probably always going to be in a situation where, you know, in that 8-9 range, you win a game, then you got to go knock off a one seed. But, that's definitely, to me, was the first round one matchup that popped off the page to me. I'm hoping that I'm not working and at a at an establishment watching that one somewhere in Omaha.
Well, that'll be, what, a 1:45, I guess, on Friday. So could be good for you. It might be bad for us if we got you on at 4:30 after hitting the establishment. how about number 8, Nebraska, number 9, Texas A&M? That is in the South region. Also, Wisconsin, the 5, James Madison, the 12. Putting those together, what, any thoughts on those?
Yeah, I know that, you know, James Madison is going to be a popular upset pick. Although Wisconsin just looked different. They looked different than they did in the last month and a half to close the regular season. When AJ Storr's playing like that, obviously they're a handful. And then Chucky Hepburn has really elevated the game and was tough to deal with, especially for Illinois, latter portions of the first half into the second half. So 5-12 is always a popular upset range, and not saying that there's any guarantees. You know, James Madison had a pretty darn good year and went into East Lansing, of course, memorably in the opener and knocked off Michigan State. So I like Wisconsin as they're playing right now. I would pick them to win against James Madison. As for Nebraska, I admittedly don't know a ton about A&M. I know that they're pretty hard-nosed and tough and good on the glass and whatnot. But I will say Nebraska has impressed me overall, just the way that they, not beyond just coming out how they did against Illinois, but they closed the season on a high note. We know Tominaga can really get going, and Hoiberg's done a phenomenal job with that rebuild in 1 year, reloading that roster, and saw them light up the scoreboard against Indiana in that first game, and then they were giving it to Illinois for a while, obviously. So they're a team that I'll be excited to watch as well, and if they are able to get past A&M, then obviously it'd be Houston, which would be a really tough draw, but you never know. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. I'm not going to worry about Purdue, obviously, because we don't even know yet who they play. How about Michigan State, Mississippi to wrap things up?
You don't want to doubt Izzo this time of year.
Right.
I feel like that's, I don't know what the, it's fading a little bit, I think, just because they're not the same Michigan State type of team. They still have a good collection of guards. I wonder about the bigs as far as if they run into that. And I don't know. I think that there will be people who just say just because it's Tom Izzo, they'll find their way into the Sweet 16 again. I'm not so sure as far as that goes. Obviously, Tyson Walker, when he's going, is one of the more dangerous guards out there. But it's a team that really on the whole the last few years has been about a 500 squad in the Big Ten. And you just wonder with this current landscape with the portal and everything, is Izzo long for college basketball? I think it's a big question.
Right.
And I don't know if an early exit would be something that he would want to go out on, but that is something that is kind of on my radar.
I got to get one last thing in here. I know there was a lot of exciting basketball for Pipes this weekend, but on the football front, I'm sure he was a little distraught in the locker room going through his post-game interviews on Saturday night. The Bears trade Justin Fields.
Good call.
To the Steelers for a sixth-round pick. The Caleb Williams era is officially here in Chicago. Pipes, how are you feeling about it?
Oh, Kyle, you had to do it to me, didn't you?
had to.
Eric just wants to take a nap.
Man. Ali Marmol got an extension. God knows why. And then the next day, my boy Justin Fields got traded for a sixth-round pick. So I'm too tired to go into the all-piped-up music and whatnot. And I know that, look, Caleb Williams is a really talented guy, and I'm over the moon at the fact that they traded for Keenan Allen and just thinking right. about the weapons. They signed DeAndre Swift. It's a great situation. It should be for a quarterback to go into Chicago and to start his tenure, and maybe we finally get this thing right. So I'm excited about that as a Bears fan. I'm really bummed out about Justin. It didn't work out. They didn't really get anything for him. They gave him away. I still maintain, I feel like in the short term that the Bears would have been better off next year rolling with Justin. I know the money factors in and all of that. I still am a believer in Justin Fields, like in the right situation and whatnot. Just kind of more disappointed the Bears didn't put a better situation around him to get the most out of him. I still think he's a really good talent. He threw for 6 touchdown passes in that Clemson game in the college football playoff for a reason, but Coleman Hawkins was very visibly distraught, to use your word, in the locker room when he found out about it. Me and him, Jeremy and Joey were joking with me that we should have just did a pod, just me and Coleman, on Justin Fields and the Bears right then and there. So maybe a missed opportunity as far as that goes. But, I'll get over it. I'll get over it. I haven't bought a terrible towel or anything like that. So Lon doesn't have to hate me. But
right.
You're not going to be able to walk in these doors if you bring one of those in.
No.
I know. But, yeah, I'm a little bummed. That was my guy. But, hopefully better days are in store for the Bears. And whoever the name is, if they get the quarterback thing right, then I'll come around and
yep.
I'll be loving it. So
Well, listen, get some rest, my friend. Be safe getting to Omaha. We'll talk to you Wednesday and then hopefully Friday as well with two previews, essentially, of two big games for Illinois in the NCAA tournament. Great job this weekend. You got us a win. That's what we asked. You did it. Pipes, well done, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for holding it down. And, yeah, I look forward to reporting live from Omaha next time we talk.
Let's go. I love it, man. That is Derek Piper on the Tapman's Towing phone line, of course, co-host of The Drive with Tay and Piper. We're going to listen to some audio from Illinois, the victors. Next hour, I'll go through some of your text on the U of I Lightning Lake text line. A lot to do, and he brought up baseball. The Cardinals, at least, and I assume the Cubs, were 10 days from opening day. 10 days. Let's go. It is The Drive.